Hey, the 82 preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. So don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, every opening tip to all those buzzer beaters, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. And if you're new to sports betting, it's super easy to get started. Try betting on something simple like a team to win. Go to the app, select your team, and place your first bet. That's simple. And here's something to sweeten the deal. For new customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Again, use the code SPORTSHUB. And if you're a new customer, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's only on DraftKings.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms.
B-Pod Studios.
Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, here we go. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger Maserati coming to you on Thursday. Thursday, October 17th, Maz.
Yes.
Maz alongside here in our Townford Tire Studios. Big Jim Murray wiping down our update studio. Hi, fellas.
Hi. How are you?
Hi. Enough of the pleasantries. Want to talk some football?
Sure, man.
How do you feel about the slate this weekend?
I think it's pretty good, actually. Looking at the games, I think there are, and Murray touched on some of this in the email exchange we had, but I want to add to it. But Murray, you agree, obviously, that there are a handful of good games, particularly as it pertains to the AFC.
Yeah, specifically the AFC. You get Houston and Indianapolis, which I find interesting, because Indy, I believe, is coming off the bye, correct?
Yes.
And they're coming off a big win at Kansas City. Houston's coming off a big win at Kansas City. I think the winner of that is going to be, well, obviously, the team they maybe got to look out for in terms of the AFC South, but I think is more of a contender than the other one. Someone's going to be proven to be a fraud in that game. Oakland, who's been a bit of a surprise so far. They got to go to Green Bay, who just had a fake win over Detroit.
Can I just stop and go back one?
Yeah.
Just stick on Houston, Indy. Well, someone has to lose, Murray. Right? Like, I mean, someone has to lose.
Yeah.
The loser's automatically a fraud and is out?
A bit. I'm not saying automatically a fraud. I'm not saying they're out. Don't I mean, put words not... in my mouth. Well, but no, I think I that mean, they
you,
will be.
You just said the loser's a fraud.
I said a bit of a fraud. Okay. A bit. There's but you understand a little bit of nuance there. I know we don't do nuance or fun on this show.
No, but you understand what I mean, though. You understand what I mean? Like, they both can't win.
Yeah, I know.
Is it possible they're both good, they're both going to contend, but they just happen to play each other and someone's going to win?
Eh, well, I don't know. I mean, that was a huge win for both of those teams.
You're going to write somebody off after that game.
I might. Yeah. We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see.
Murray prefers to think of it in more fatalistic terms.
I'm not. Yeah. I'm going in to clarify. That's all.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, it's not like they're playing different teams.
Again, my list of the great teams in the league this year is very fluid, as it is every year. So we'll see. Let's see. I mean, if it's a blowout, because it's in Indy, if Houston goes in there and completely blows doors, yeah, then Indy's a fraud. Again, there's nuance. We'll see how it plays out.
See, I think there's the real chance in that game for someone to be validated, particularly Indianapolis. If Indianapolis were to beat Houston, you know, and again, I know the associative property or the transitive property doesn't work. But if Indianapolis were to beat Houston and say, let's say, just say convincingly the opposite, don't you have to look at Indy and go, they're legit.
Yeah.
They're legit. Indy's legit. Now, they've already gone into Kansas City, so maybe they've already done that. But
you wouldn't do that with Houston, though?
No, I would do it with Houston.
So you do it with both?
Yeah, no, I said that's right. Whoever wins validates themselves, particularly Indy. So you're just not listening to the words today.
No, I disagree. But you started by saying if Indy wins, they're legit, so which led me to believe if Houston does, they're not?
No, because Indy's 3-2 and Houston's 4-2. So I think that the loss, you know, the win would mean more to Indianapolis than it would to Houston because it sort of locks everybody up, puts them at 4-3 in that division, not to mention the fact that it's a division game and they're at home.
No, I'm following along.
It doesn't seem it.
I am.
Can I give you another one?
Go.
Well, again, Oakland at Green Bay, who just had a fake win over Detroit on Monday night and looks like one of the better teams in that conference. They make my top five teams. But Oakland, big surprise this year. Derek Carr, just in terms of quarterback rating, I think he's the second best in the league. He's having a hell of a season, so they've been a bit of a surprise. If Oakland can go into Green Bay and
is
pull
that
off that
true
upset,
about Derek Carr?
Yeah, I think he has the second best quarterback rating in the NFL right now.
Stand by. Keep talking.
If he and that team in Oakland goes into Green Bay and pulls off an upset, well, now you got to take Oakland a little bit more seriously because I don't have them in my top 10, but they will have they'll be squeaking their way in if they can go in there and win that game. And the other one, another team I haven't taken really that seriously despite their record so far, is Baltimore. They don't make my top 10. They have a tough game, have to go to the Seattle Seahawks. Right now, Russell Wilson, I think it would be the consensus MVP. You can make a strong argument, at least, for him being the MVP of the league thus far. Tough place to play. If Baltimore goes in and pulls off the upset there, another team I now have to take seriously.
Not to slow your roll, Murray, but again, you said it. Maz said really, so I did just quickly check it.
Me too.
Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Then it's it's percentage. I think it's QB percentage.
Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes, Kirk Cousins is third, Deshaun Watson, Kyle Allen.
Completion percentage, that's what it is.
Dak Prescott.
So Murray's right, he's number one in the league in completion percentage. 14th in rating.
Okay. So I had that mistake, but I knew he was high in one of those ratings that actually matters. Don't give me yards, Murray. But he's been having a pretty good season.
Fine. I'll give it to you. It was a misspeak. Or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that never happens on this show.
So there are, I think there are a bunch of games, like, and there are even some that I would put in sort of a second class as I'm curious to see what would happen. But in terms of the big ones, Murray, you said the Oakland Green Bay game, right?
Yep.
You said Kansas City, Denver, Houston, Indy, Baltimore, Seattle. How about Philly at Dallas? That's a great game. That game, well, again, that's an NFC.
Well, if you asked Murray 6 days ago, they were both going to the Super Bowl.
Well, exactly.
Two of them, now
they're vying for the number one pick.
Dog food.
I know. Yeah, I know. It's a toilet bowl is what it is down in Dallas.
Yeah, it's a battle of also-rans.
Yeah, the Super Bowl. This is one of those. Mm-hmm. But I think that the winner of that game establishes itself as the team to beat in the NFC East. They're both flawed. They both have problems. I like the Eagles. I think the Eagles have bigger balls than the Cowboys do and a better coach. And so, but what if it goes the other way? Again, I just think it's a pivotal game. I think New Orleans at Chicago is an interesting game, if for no other reason than New Orleans has done well without Breeze. This might be the last game they play without him too, right?
Yeah, he's apparently now able to hold a football and is practicing with a ball, so that's encouraging.
So if they go 4-0 with Bridgewater, and the Bears, you know, a team that obviously was had a good year a year ago. I'd even go so far as to give you Minnesota, Detroit. I think is a pretty decent game. I think the Patriots at the Jets is a game I'll keep an eye on. I think the Jets are going to give them a run in that game. And you know, if you want to get even into stupid curious stuff, I want to see Kyler Murray and Daniel Jones go against each other. And Arizona's got two wins now. That's more than I thought they'd have. Seriously, like. So I think there's a bunch of them, but those first four are probably the biggest.
So to me, I'm still looking to see who's that team that's going to be here in the AFC title game. Because I've written off KC. Am I wrong to say KC's not going to be here in the AFC title game? Is that premature?
Premature.
It's just a prediction. Jimmy demands them. They may be, again, if I do a power ranking, they still might be my second team. But I don't think they're going to be here because it's not just in a vacuum. It's about your road and where you go and et cetera, et cetera. And I do not think that Kansas City is equipped to win on the road. And is that defense going to get much better between now and the end of the year?
Probably not.
How do you go on the road in January in the playoffs and win with that defense?
I don't know. I mean, the only thing I'll say again is that Chris Jones missed the last game. Murray, you say they were missing another defensive tackle too, right?
Yeah, I know Jones was out. I forget who the other
one. Jones is a big part of that defense on the interior, but he was there last year and they couldn't stop the Patriots. So, you know, I'm not convinced that their defense is good enough.
So, to me, the interesting thing is what AFC team is going to emerge to earn the right to come here in the AFC title game and let the Patriots wipe their ass with them? That's, to me, I am vaguely interested in that. And I think they're, you know, and I don't believe in any of them, per se. I guess I have Indy, you know, if you make me pick a team. There's just something about Baltimore and Lamar Jackson, those rushing totals that I say,
nah, I have a hard time taking that team seriously.
You're not going to make it. You can't, you know, either he's going to get hurt or someone's just going to play smart and not let him run. And then what? And I say, the way that quarterback plays to me, it's really rare for that to win.
Their defense has been shredded in some of these games recently too. So I think they're overrated on that side of the ball.
I mean, so maybe that Houston Indy game is that team. Am I nuts? If Denver wins tonight, are they done? Am I nuts to write off Denver?
What are they, 1-4?
They're 2-4.
2-4.
No, they're not done. They're definitely 2-4. Not done.
If Denver wins tonight at home on Thursday night, which is not a complete out of the realm of possibility, they're 3-4. KC's 4-3.
And if Oakland loses in Green Bay, they're still in play for the division.
Game behind with the tiebreaker. And there's Oakland in between there, as he just mentions. So Oakland could emerge. Houston could emerge. Indy could emerge. Baltimore could, but I don't believe in them.
You're writing off Baltimore too easily. Keep going.
And if Denver wins tonight, they're a game out with the tiebreaker. I don't know. Like, that's just what it is. And it's a hard place to play. And
yeah.
They still have home games. I don't know.
There's an ominous stat about tonight's game, though, that has me feeling less excited about it. You know, the Chiefs have beat them 7 straight games. They've beat Denver 7 straight. And I know they're in a bad way these last couple of weeks. That's a very difficult place to play, as we all know. But I don't know. After seeing that, I was like, ugh. So maybe Chiefs are definitely going to win this tonight.
Well, let's see.
I mean, a lot of ways, though, the Broncos could be a bad matchup. They're home. They generally run the ball well. You know, Kansas City can't stop the run.
Mahomes, they're beat up.
I mean, it is. They're Thursday night. Like, there are a lot of elements to look at there and say Denver.
Again, the running game is the biggest one.
Yeah, because you do lots of things there. A, you score. B, you keep Mahomes off the field.
I mean, well, that's just like blueprint that going all the way back to last year, not just you, other teams. Perilla was talking about this yesterday. I mean, there's a solid established blueprint against that KC team. And if Denver can do anything or wants to do anything, it's that. And it's run the ball and clock and all of that. I mean, all the sort of elements are in place for an upset. And I don't even know how big of an upset would it be. What's the line? It's, you know, Denver's home Thursday night. So I don't know.
I'd look it up, but we get banned from the gambling.
Oh, no, I'll get it for you. I can get that. I know ways around it, Murray.
Okay, so either way, am I premature? Which it happens, fellas. Am I premature on the KC thing to write them off? And does tonight tell you anything either way?
Chiefs by 3.5.
Okay, so, I mean, if Denver wins, that's not even that big of an upset. Yeah. That's what I was asking. You know, that's not even. So, I mean, I think tonight's a ball game. And I think it tells you something where Kansas City, man, I'm telling you, they are not built to. They have not corrected their fatal flaw. And the offense has taken a step back through injury or whatever. Other teams figuring them out. And someone else is going to emerge to come here and get their ass kicked by you in the AFC title game. Who's that team?
Why are you so dismissive of the Ravens? Just because of Lamar Jackson?
I don't believe a quarterback that rushes for 150 yards a game can do it.
You realize, though, that they are the one team in this era that has consistently come in here and been able to smack you in the face.
I will definitely give them that.
So I was just looking it up. They've played 4 times in the playoffs. All 4 games have been New England. The record's 2-2. Okay, it's a dead heat. And the Ravens blew you out once.
And should have won one of them.
They could have won the other two.
Yeah.
One was the 35-31 game that had the double pass from Edelman to Amendola.
I'm going to give the Patriots that one.
Okay, but even so.
The 2011, the guy misses a 31-yarder to send it to overtime?
Exactly.
I mean, sorry.
I just think if you add up the actual points in those games, the Ravens have come in here and outscored the Patriots in those games. The Ravens coming here should scare you.
Different rate. I mean, what?
Yeah, that's like a the only lifetime thing, ago, I feel like.
Only thing left is Harbaugh.
Okay, fine. You know, no problem.
I just, that quarterback. I'm like, I just know the Pats are going to keep him in the pocket and make him throw. And he doesn't scare me, and they don't have the defense that they used to have. But maybe am I being overly dismissive of the Baltimore Ravens?
Yes.
Okay. Am I being quick to jump and bury the Kansas City Chiefs?
Yes.
Your thoughts on the NFL this weekend, all that, the slate this weekend, the Michael Bennett situation, you want to weigh in on that? By all means. Demaryius Thomas is crying in New York. You want to weigh in on that? By all means. Oh, what else are we going to hit on? The NFL, former refs calling for the Sky Judge. I want to hit on that. We can get to that. Anything NFL related, we'll get to next. We do have a Bruins Minute coming up. We have a Sox Minute coming up later on in the program. But as usual, mostly football to you at 617-779-0985 right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5.
Hey, the 82 preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. So don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, every opening tip to all those buzzer beaters, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. And if you're new to sports betting, it's super easy to get started. Try betting on something simple like a team to win. Go to the app, select your team, and place your first bet. That's simple. And here's something to sweeten the deal. For new customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Again, use the code SPORTSHUB. And if you're a new customer, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's only on DraftKings.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketballterms.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And a wrench. And a towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random tube I found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape. Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
2 minutes to play at Arrowhead, 31-24, the Texans lead, and it's fourth down and three at the Kansas City 27, and Bill O'Brien's going to go for it. Deshaun puts the leg down. Here's the snap. Watson throwing, and he hits Hopkins for a first down. The game is over. The Texans can kill the clock in Kansas City. What a gutsy call. Fourth down. Watson to Hopkins to drill the knife in the heart of the Chiefs.
Excellent throw.
So Houston goes to validate this weekend. That's how it ended last weekend in Kansas City. Indy goes to validate. Indy should win. They're home. Shouldn't they?
I mean, if they are what we think they are under Reich, they should.
Do you take Houston seriously, Maz?
I do.
Typically, no, but I do think that they've added more weapons on offense. And typically, you know, they're one of the few teams that has come in here in the playoffs and given the Patriots problems with their defense. I mean, it lasted for a while anyway. They couldn't score that year. But defensively, they threw some pretty good wrinkles at them. Why are you smiling?
No,
they did. In one of those games, Brady didn't have a good game.
Brady had a real tough day one of those games.
Yeah, and again, so I draw a distinction between regular season and postseason. Now, if they come here in January, do I give them a chance to win? No.
Right.
No. But, you know, maybe they're different. You know, Watson's getting more experience. They have more weapons. Maybe O'Brien's growing a set. I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't like anybody coming in here to beat the Patriots.
And going back quickly to Indy, just because they're home, their last home game, they got waxed by Oakland. So that's no luck just because they have home field for this game.
So, again, 617-779-0985. I heard maybe ESPN talking about, for KC, before I go to your phones, Mahomes, clearly not right physically, sort of hobbling around out there. And should the Chiefs shut him down for a couple of weeks to get him healthy for the stretch drive when they really need him? I'm sort of screaming inside my head, are you kidding me? No. Who does that?
Nobody.
Who does that? If the quarterback can play, you play. And in the meantime, who's their backup?
I don't even know. Is it Chase Daniel? No, he's with someone else now.
I think it is Chase Daniel, actually.
He's with the Bears.
So, I mean, again, even with Mahomes, they're sort of teetering. So now you're going to give away games, give away the chance for home playoff games or potentially a bye so you can quote-unquote get Mahomes. No.
Matt Moore.
Matt Moore is right.
This is the way it works if you're a franchise quarterback in that league. Unless you have an ACL or a separated shoulder or something that categorically knocks you out, a broken bone, you play.
Yeah, too disruptive to the team overall to make that change.
You play. And if it's something that is week to week and you don't play, you're Jay Cutler. Which is not a good thing.
This kid will play. He won't sit out.
So what? Which is this is not the way it works. No. If the quarterback can play, he plays. That comes with the territory. Period. Story over. And oh, by the way, if Casey gives away too many games, even with Pat Mahomes, they're not the kind of team that can win on the road in the playoffs. Don't be giving those games away.
No, there's only one time I would ever consider it, and that is at the end of the regular season if the game doesn't mean anything. You know, you get to week 17 and you say, you know.
Oh, yeah, well, that's different.
Right?
Okay,
like
fine.
That's an automatic.
Yeah.
I just, some people believe like you play, you know, that streak, the whole thing. Like, I you know, he's going to play, though. That kid's not like that.
There's no way.
I don't think he's like that. I think he'll play. And the other thing is after this game, this will be a tough turnaround. He gets 10 days off. He won't have to play till a week from Sunday. He'll get plenty of time.
Exactly. As promised, to the phones. John is in Winthrop. Hi, John. Lead us off.
But I'll get an appointment.
John!
I'll get an appointment.
John in Winthrop.
No, I went to.
Okay, so John in Winthrop's comment line, if he ever pays attention. John! Patrick Mahomes is eventually going to have to step up and play a real game and not play flag football. That's what his comment line says. So, like, I'm happy to pick apart the Chiefs, but this sort of leads to another thing, because I heard Zoe in the midday as well, sort of, KC's a fraud. They haven't beat anybody. They didn't beat anybody last year. I'm sick of this Kansas City thing. We're also going to have to come to agreement then, Patriots fans, that the field sucks and you're beating up on a down league or a down conference anyway. You can't have it both ways. You can't sit here all day and tell me this team sucks, that team sucks, Mahomes is a fraud, KC's a fraud. You can't sit here and tell me KC is a fraud. And then when the Patriots beat KC and we rip on how dumb KC is, call up and say, why don't you give the Patriots any credit?
Well, you know that's coming no matter what.
The reason I'm not is because you've been telling me all week that KC's a fraud. So we have to pick one. Either this is legit competition or it's not, and they're beating up on a down league, and you've gotten good. A nice little happy coincidence that you got good when everybody else sucked, and you're beating up on a down league. Or I want to hear how good these teams are. You can't have it both ways.
Well, sure. You know they will, though, or try to. They will try to. But I don't think, look, again, if the game is here, and right now I have a hard time believing the AFC Championship is going to be played anywhere but Foxborough. If the game's here, I don't know that anyone can come in and win. With the possible exception of the Ravens, if Lamar Jackson is half decent.
So that being said, as I beat up on John Winthrop, he is kind of right that can KC win 21-17?
I don't think so,
Can KC win 17-13? You know, like we used to say this about the Patriots all the time in that long gap, that 10-year, 9-year gap between championships where he said, well, they can only win one way when Brady lights it up. Can they win another way? Well, now they can. Are the Chiefs what the Patriots used to be?
Yes. Yeah, they are. They're like Indy in a lot of ways, what Indy used to be. And I typically don't like those high-flying air shows. And this isn't as high-flying, but it's the same idea, right? It's all offensive-based. I thought maybe their defense had improved a little bit this year because I think Frank Clark's better than Dee Ford, although Dee Ford's playing well out in San Francisco. And they added the Honey Badger, their secondary, Tyrann Mathieu, as a safety, which was an upgrade over Eric Berry, who could barely get on the field. I thought, well, here you go. But they're still the kind of team that's got to play in front and win the game with the offense. So I think that gets a lot harder to do in January because somebody's just going to smash you in the face.
So it is kind of true. As I dump on him on one hand, it's kind of true.
See, Mike, if you go by the roster, okay, just the roster, I'm not talking about the coach or anything else, Houston should probably be the team that is the biggest threat. They should be. They have a quarterback. They have weapons on offense. They have a defense that's pretty good. But because of the coach and the way he has come in here and absolutely tightened up, and I used to love O'Brien. Now I say he's going to come in here and get his ass kicked because he's just embarrassed himself and wet himself when he's come to Foxborough. If O'Brien coaches the same way he has in the past, they have no shot. He's got to do more of what he did last week, just going for it on 4th-and-3 and trying to beat the Patriots that way. If he's willing to do that, they have a chance. If not, they're cooked.
Kevin in Braintree, are you there?
Yes, I'm there. Listen, would you rather have Mahomes with his talent or would you rather have Brady with his brain? Mahomes, when it's 2nd-and-11, he's trying to get 15 yards plus or hit a home run or get on, you know, the highlight reel. It seems like every time he throws the ball. Brady at least doesn't have the talent or the arm anymore, but he has the brain, the game management, take your check down, go for, 3rd-and-6 rather than 3rd-and-long.
So, Kevin, I like the game manager. I do. I always have.
But why is he saying that Mahomes is somehow a dumb quarterback? I don't think Mahomes is dumb.
No, but he is a gunslinger.
Yeah.
And I'd always rather take the Brady type than the gunslinger type. I would. And Mahomes is spectacular. But I said this before, people use this as a pejorative, as Gasper would say, as a rip on Brady that he's becoming more of a game manager, or Jimmy Garoppolo is a game manager in San Francisco, to which I say, great. I love game managers. What, I'm in the lead and my quarterback's going to play smart? Or my defense is good and my quarterback is just going to limit mistakes and manage the clock? Love it. Perfect. Or in the rare cases, this is a running game and we're going to run the ball and he's okay handing off and he doesn't need to be the man? Perfect. I love that guy. So I'm okay with Alex Smith. If Alex Smith were on this team right now, you'd be winning a crap ton of games. So I have no problem with the game manager. I really don't. I prefer the game manager over the gunslinger. So, I mean, there's just that. I mean,
look, I'll take aptitude, too. I'm not telling you I won't take aptitude and experience and smarts and all of that. I just think he's mischaracterizing Patrick Mahomes. Again, Mahomes last year threw 12 picks, 50 touchdowns. His rating was 114. In the playoffs, it was just under 100. I mean, he makes spectacular plays, but I can't remember a ton, and I'm not saying zero. I can't remember a ton of bad mistakes he's made. And the other thing is, he's started, what, 20, a year and a half? I mean, the guy's got barely any experience yet.
So again, we're taking two calls. Both have been downing the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. All I'm saying is, when we come on and say it's a down league and you have an easy schedule and there's no one to play and your success is partly a function of the competition, I don't want to hear you crying. Because all you do is call up and tell me that Patrick Mahomes ain't that good. So? And you're sick and they're frauds. And so fine. So I'll take your word for it. You know, and to this point, you're right. I've been trying to, this whole time, I've been trying to build up the competition. Give me the Jets. Give me Don. Give me John Elway and the Broncos. So I'm trying to build up the competition. And you've told me all along that those teams suck and they're flashes in the pan. You were right. You were right. I was wrong. So bottom line, there's no competition. You got lucky. You're playing against a bad league. Pick one. Pick one. Either tell me these teams are good or agree with us and tell us that you're beating a down league in a bad conference and, you know, it's just lucky.
Something tells me they're not going to agree.
I'm just looking for some sort of intellectual consistency. That's all. Just a hair. I know that's probably asking a lot, but at least I'm being logical about that.
I think it's asking too much.
Coming up next, I want to give you a Bruins minute. Could Bruce Cassidy be considering a goaltender platoon in the playoffs? Could Bruce Cassidy be considering a goaltender platoon in the postseason? We'll discuss this right after Murray's update.
Hey, the 82 preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. So don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, every opening tip to all those buzzer beaters, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. And if you're new to sports betting, it's super easy to get started. Try betting on something simple like a team to win. Go to the app, select your team, and place your first bet. That's simple. And here's something to sweeten the deal. For new customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Again, use the code SPORTSHUB. And if you're a new customer, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's only on DraftKings.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Visit the president of Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
Bend the wrench. Bend a towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random tube I found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter. Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Okay, Bruins minute. First of all, good game tonight at the Garden. Here come the Lightning.
Tremendous game.
It's been a good early schedule. There have been some good games and good matchups on paper, and then some really good hockey to start the year. Surprising. I didn't think it was coming. I didn't think the Bruins would play this well. And I feel like, I don't know, maybe everyone understands the importance of that quick start, you know, not falling behind. Although the team that won the Cup last year fired their coach and were out of it at Christmas and still came back and won it, but I still think everyone is sort of realizes they want a good start. So there's been some good hockey. And this should be another one. Tampa Bay Lightning, best team in the league last year, got swept in the first round. One thing that stands out to me about Tampa is interesting what they've done. They have copied you and have created their own perfection line, i.e. erection line. And it's better than yours, by the way.
I mean, with the guys they got, how could it not be?
And I wonder if it's signaling a trend in the league where if you've got two good centers or, you know, three good forwards, you're better off splitting them up on two to three lines, or are you better off loading them up on one? The Bruins load them up on one. And I don't like it. I don't like that the Bruins loaded up on one. I think it's been a problem for them, especially when that one line underperforms like they did in the Cup final last year. So why wouldn't you want to spread that out? But no, I wonder if it's going the other direction, because In Tampa, they put Kucherov, Stamkos, and Braden Point on the same line. Those guys last year, by the way, in points, ranked first, Kucherov, won the MVP, ninth, Stamkos, and 12th, Braden Point. They have three guys in the top 12. He might be tied for 12th, might be 13th, but they have three guys in the top dozen in the league in scoring. Their goals, Kucherov had 41, Stamkos had 45, Point had 41. And they're playing on the same line. They used to be on different lines, unless it was like the last 2 minutes of a game and they needed a goal, then Cooper would throw them out there together. But this year, after Point got healthy, missed the first couple of games, that's their erection line.
It's basically their power play unit, right?
It's freaking, and also, like, I think that's dumb. I mean, I don't know, like, that's just intuitively, and the way the Bruins do it, it's driving me nuts, too. It's like...
it's just too weighted.
The perfection line, it's great, blah, and I say the perfection line in air quotes. The choke me in the finals line.
The rejection line.
Right. If they're not going, or if they get outplayed by someone like, I don't know, Ryan O'Reilly, then what are you left with? It's like, you want to spread that out. And I think that's, the Bruins have sort of fallen into the same thing where they're getting goals from their first line. They're getting great goaltending. And then everything else in between is like, ugh. So I still think they should put Pasternak down with someone else, but our team's now starting to go the other way.
I wonder. It's a good question. And I think you can live that way in the regular season. Like, because who can match up with those guys in the regular season? A couple of teams. Again, you'd say, okay, you know. If
not even. What team can put three guys together like that?
No, not many. But I'm saying in theory, right? You'd say, well, the Bruins have a shot. They have a shot.
So that's actually one thing tonight. I think that's going to be fun. So, look, I don't think it's a way to do it. But tonight, Stamkos, Kucherov, Point, Bergeron, Marchand, Pasternak.
Pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's going to be pretty. I mean, that's like a freaking all-star game.
And I was looking it up. When those guys go on the power play, they take off a defenseman.
Okay, right? So Hedman probably stays out
Hedman
there.
Stays out there, and they put Maroon in front of the net. It's like, it is. It's awesome.
So, I mean, I just wonder if that's, I'm sure. I wonder if there's some advanced analytic that the nerds have gotten into this. And they've said, well, actually, it's more efficient. And it's, you know, max optimization if you put them all on one line versus spreading it out.
I bet you it is.
I wonder if there's been an analytic study done on it. And now this is a trend in the league. You might have started it. And I still feel gut-wise it's wrong. I don't like it. But either way, get your popcorn ready. That's pretty good.
I don't think he can win in the playoffs that way.
And
I don't.
And me neither. But we'll see. And I'm just curious if Cassie's going to match that way. If he's going to match the Stamkos line with the Bergeron line, or if it's going to be a checking line against that. And he
like
tries
Corrali?
Yeah, I mean, who knows? I'd like to see him go toe-to-toe.
Oh, that'd be great.
That'd be fun. All right, then there's this. Fluto Shinzawa in The Athletic did a story today about goaltending rotations and how traditionally they die in the playoffs. But he wonders if the Bruins will be trailblazers. He wonders if the Bruins will take their goaltender rotation into the postseason. And he even got Bruce Cassidy to talk about it. He asked Bruce Cassidy, and this is a generic question about goaltending rotations in the playoffs. Here's what Cassidy said yesterday.
You have data and past years of performance to look at and say this benefits both guys. So do you think there will ever be a coach in an organization that says, let's just try a rotation in the playoffs, or is that just too big of a leap?
No, I think they will. I do. Did he rotate Cheevers and Gilbert, or my late or early? So that's Eddie Johnson and Cheever still? Yeah. See, I'm all right. I'm close. I believe it will happen at some point. Yeah. I don't know if it'll be this year or whatever, but I think eventually if they're structured that way during the regular season, why would you, you know, necessarily change it in the playoffs? So I could see it happening, definitely. Absolutely.
Okay. He's not taught. He wasn't asked about his situation. Could he be referring to his situation?
Sure, he could be. Yeah, I mean, wasn't there speculation going into the postseason last year that the Bruins could sort of end up doing that?
I mean,
do you remember those stories at the time about how many teams are starting to split time in the postseason?
By design?
No, not necessarily by design.
So the last couple cup winners before last year did have different goalies, but it was always
poor player injury or something.
Yeah, like when the Capitals won, they started with Grubauer, I think, and then went to Holtby.
Pittsburgh definitely did it.
Pittsburgh had a couple. I think they had Fleury, Matt Murray, and then there was even another guy in there. But it's only because those guys changed because Grubauer started to suck and they went with the other guy, or Fleury got hurt and they went with the other guy. It's never just a straight platoon. This guy one night, the other guy the next night. No one's done that unless, you know, Cheevers and Eddie Johnson in 1972. Like, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah,
No. Should it happen on this team, Murray?
Go ahead.
Can't hurt. I mean, as good as Rask was, he ended up crapping his pants in Game 7 last year. So, I mean, what the hell? And if anyone's going to try it, it's going to be this guy. You know, Cassidy's made some bold moves since he's been the head coach here anyway, so I'm for it.
I'll tell you, to me, this is the classic analytic garbage that pops up in a team or in a sport. Because it's, in theory... Well, if you give each guy 4 days of rest, the data shows that they have optimum performance.
And that was part of the Fluto's question. The data's in on Rask in the regular season. I mean, it's proven. They have it. They know it. They live by it. The less he plays, the better he is. What if that extended to the postseason?
Okay, so again, let's say you're down in a series, I don't know, 3-2. You go on the road in, I don't know, let's say St. Louis.
Whose night is it?
No, and you win the game with Rask in there, and he plays well, like he did last year.
Uh-huh.
You're going to come home and put in Halak?
Who do you want in the net, Murray?
Oh, Game 7?
Yep.
Money on the table?
Yep.
Halak.
Well, now you say that. Now you wouldn't have said it in the spring.
Well, shame on me for getting fooled again by this guy. Enough of him.
No way. When I say that it's purely analytic-driven, don't you think the players would be looking at it going, ooh.
What are we doing?
Exactly.
Well, I mean, it's the oldest... idiom? I don't know. What hot goalie? You ever heard of the hot goalie? Don't you ride the hot goalie in the postseason?
Yeah, but deep down, especially with him, you know what's coming. The old banana in the tailpipe. I'm not falling forward again. They get to that game. Game 7 at home. Halak is in net. That's who I want.
So it's...
I don't believe in it. I don't.
It's a particularly touchy issue here. And good for Fluto. Fluto, you know, I think he's been... I think he's been excommunicated from the local hockey writers union because he's not doing the boo-hoo Tuca crew thing. He's saying...
Yeah, he's probably as fed up as I am.
He's saying traditionally goaltender rotations die in the playoffs in the Athletic. Perhaps the Bruins will be trailblazers. Even before last year, the Bruins had data showing Rask performed better while carrying a workload lighter than that of a traditional ace. Last season only provided the Bruins more support for that thesis. And then he goes into the numbers. He says, why can't it happen in the postseason, too? And so we're an easy mark for this because there was a lot of distrust in Rask to begin with. Then he has that great run in the postseason. And then what happened in Game 7? What happened in Game 7 again?
Two goals on four shots.
Like, that's going to be his nickname until he wins one. Two goals on four shots. So we're sort of an easy... That's sort of inflammatory thing to bring up there, Fluto. Love you. God bless you. But I think that falls on kind ears here in Boston.
50% in Game 7?
Okay.
50 Cent.
Not to bring up Game 7 or anything. I know that's a touchy subject as well, but there it is. Okay, so there's your Bruins Minute. Take your calls on that and the football stuff to you in a long commercial-free segment next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Felger.
Hey, the 82 preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. So don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, every opening tip to all those buzzer beaters, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. And if you're new to sports betting, it's super easy to get started. Try betting on something simple like a team to win. Go to the app, select your team, and place your first bet. That's simple. And here's something to sweeten the deal. For new customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Again, use the code SPORTSHUB. And if you're a new customer, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's only on DraftKings.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random 2x found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Bouwmeester shoots. They score! Deflected in the slot by O'Reilly on the Bouwmeester drive. And the Blues with a 1-0 lead with 3:13 left here in the first period. Far circle, walking in. It's backhanded. They score! Alex Pietrangelo walked in. And the Blues with a late goal lead at 2-0 here in the first.
This is two soft goals against Tuukka Rask, who has been absolutely unstoppable in this playoff series. It was 7 seconds to go in the period. The Blues make it 2-0.
Whoops. Sorry. We haven't played that sound once, I don't think. I don't know if we played that the next day after they lost.
That game was a killer.
It's in my recap.
The only way we're going to get over it is to finally really accept what the hell happened in that absolute nightmare of a night.
Face your fear.
Face it head on as opposed to running from it, which we've done.
We ran from it for like 4 months.
I'd rather run.
I'd rather run too.
The whole Rask thing.
I'm a coward.
Oh my God, it was so close to being settled.
I would have gladly been bled to death. You could blame me to death about Tuukka Rask. Never again.
You bet.
Never, ever, 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 ever again will I trust that guy in a moment like that.
Oh, the Boohoo Tuukka crew was so close. You were so close.
Never again, says the guy, will have the Broncos winning the Super Bowl to win tonight.
After tonight. That's a great one. but anyway, the Tuukka Defense League. Oh, you were so close. You were right there. It was right there. Two goals. Four shots. Mm. Oh, and I forgot that the tip in, the redirect there, that was with only 3 minutes left in the period. Somehow, in my mind's eye, it was like more like mid-first period. No, those two goals, so two goals in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
At the end of the first period, two goals on four shots. Oh, you were so close.
So I thought it was in the middle of the period, too, because my recollection was the first 10 minutes, the Bruins pretty much owned the game.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get one past Binnington. And again, you know, in games 5 and 7, for as much as I dumped on him, Binnington was better than Tuukka.
Okay. I'm sorry to do that, but it is just sort of, if Bruce Cassidy is willing to openly talk about platooning goalies just in general in the postseason, it's a sensey subject here in Boston with Rask's history here and then how that ended last year. And that debate really not settled, is it? Is Tuukka Rask good enough to win a cup, Murray?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Maz, again.
He's good enough to win a cup.
Let me be drastic. It's that same scenario all over again. Your children's lives are at stake. Tuukka Rask needs to win that game for them to survive. Do you like him in that game?
Murray, if he was playing like he was playing last year, my answer is yes.
Yeah, that's how I felt too. But with the money on the table in Game 7 at home to win the Stanley Cup, what do you really think is going to happen,
Mass? I'm telling you the...
Well, you're a sucker. You don't have to finish what you're saying. You're a sucker.
I'm just telling you that in the real world, we get, you know, what happens most recently affects all of our judgment, including the players. If, let's just say, hypothetically, Tuukka had been playing like that and it was Halak's turn to play, oh, no way.
You could never go the other way.
No way. You can't do it. The players would lose faith in you before they even stepped on the ice.
Yep. Enjoy hockey Clayton Kershaw then, because we've had a big enough sample size and you know what the result is going to be. Never again. You won't catch me. I'll be drastic. I'm sure. Yeah. Oh, no, I'll have Denver if they in the Super Bowl if they win tonight. Ha, ha, ha. Let's laugh at Murray's expense. Fine. Yeah. You keep doing that. I'm right. I'm as right on Tuukka Rask as I am on Jared Goff. Never, ever again. Fine, he can have a great season. They can get there again. But in Game 7, who do I want in net? Not him. Anyone but. Call up someone from Providence. Put in Darth Vladar. I don't want Rask in net in Game 7 to have it all. Ever, 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 ever again.
Hockey Clayton Kershaw.
Wow.
Ooh, that's cruel.
Yep.
That's cruel.
This boy needs a Stanley Cup. Rask needs it. Ooh, does he need it? I think he needs it more than some of the other guys who don't have one. Like, I'd say Carey Price needs one. I think Hank Lundqvist needs one. Like, there's a couple of really... These are all Hall of Fame goalies we're talking about. They could all use one, except Price was never home for Game 7 against a weaker goalie. Price never let... And so, you know, that's... This is sort of like you blame the quarterback for losing the Super Bowl. It's like...
Sure, it's that kind of role.
Jim Kelly's better off having never have gone to a Super Bowl than going 0-4. And it's unfair because you always rather, you know, the old argument we used to have, Montana's 4-0 is better than Brady's 4-2, which it's not. It's not. So the fact that Rask has been there a couple times and Carey Price never has shouldn't be on, it shouldn't work that way, but it just does. It just sort of does. Rask needs it more because he was there. He had it. Price has never had a chance.
The only other close comp is Pekka Rinne, who also had his shot and then puked all over himself against Pittsburgh a few years ago.
Yeah, but Rask has been better than Rinne in the postseason. He has, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but Rask's career goals against in the postseason is like 2.19 or something. And I was just looking a second ago, save percentage is basically 930, 927.
You, of all people, what's happened to you? You're throwing me Rask numbers now? You're
yes,
part of
I'll
the Boohoo Tuca crew?
What
has happened?
No, I'm not part of the Boohoo Tuca crew. I'm not.
Well, look
but
at the save percentage.
This whole idea of revisionist history, it's like he's playing the way he's played and you're not going to start him in game seven? Are you kidding me? No, everyone would have started him in game
well,
seven.
Well, big balls, Bruce. I trust because he's as bold as any coach as I've seen in any sport in years. I think he'd do it. I really do. Because deep down, he knows. Because he had to live through it too.
No way.
Well, look at the save percentage. And how well he played against Columbus. You wouldn't be there without him.
You're one of them now.
It would kill your team. These analytics dorks, douchebags. Sorry.
Nerds.
Like, to use your analogy, you say it's like the quarterback
Nerds.
In the Super Bowl. So if during the regular season you alternate quarterbacks, you're going to get there and do the same in the playoffs, or you're going to play the better guy? You play the better guy. The rest of the players on the team will look at you like you're some type of a-hole if you don't. You got to play the better guy. That's the whole point. In the postseason, you go with your best. The regular season is about wear and tear. The playoffs are about putting your best guy out there. And so the idea of flip-flopping goalies in the playoffs, assuming that, you know, one is better than the other. If they're equal, fine.
No. If they're equal, you're still going back and forth.
Well, so literally, if you had two mediocre goalies, I would play one, maybe the other, with hopes that one would get hot, and then I would settle.
Yeah. No, but then you'd go with the hot guy.
Absolutely, you play the better guy.
Look, that's what Cassie did last year. If Rask got off to a bad start in the postseason, Halak would have been playing. Cassie would have done that in the postseason. It's just Rask played well from the get-go, and I've never had a reason to come out. But if Rask gives him a reason, Cassie would do it. Now, if he gave him no reason, would he do it? That's what we're talking about. A straight platoon.
No way.
Every other night, no matter what.
No way. No way. Again,
I would hope he'd consider it.
It's theoretical, analytic, douchebag bullcrap is what it is. Pardon my French.
Nope. Okay.
Seriously.
It is French.
Oh, God, do I hate that. I hate that. This idea that they're robots and that the guys who play are robots and they won't be affected by a decision of, you know, of who's playing goalie or who's pitching or who's the quarterback. Oh, do I hate that. I can't stand that.
This is an HR violation, but in the next commercial break, I want you to show me your ass because I want to see if there is a 4 and a 0 on each cheek. Like, you have now become a Boohoo Tuca crew Tuca apologist.
First of all, I'm not showing you my ass because I don't have to. The 4 and the 0 are on one cheek.
His ass is like a toaster. It's like a big rectangle. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
Oh, all the strength comes from the ass.
It's a
actually,
toaster.
Murray, the 4 is on the left cheek. The O kind of takes care of itself.
All right. So I promise your calls right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials. This Rask thing and your football calls.
Hey, the 82 preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season, so don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, every opening tip to all those buzzer beaters, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. And if you're new to sports betting, it's super easy to get started. Try betting on something simple like a team to win, go to the app, select your team, and place your first bet. That's simple. And here's something to sweeten the deal. For new customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Again, use the code SPORTSHUB. And if you're a new customer, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's only on DraftKings.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
Bend the wrench. Bend a towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random tube I found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.